Well, it's no secret that God has given us so much. Unfortunately, we can forget the more important things that He gave us. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 3, Paul talks about the more important things. He talks about how God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, those are the big ones, the every spiritual blessing. Now, other things can seem to be so much more important than the things that matter the most, those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And we know that, and yet we still live in this world, this planet, and all the things that come at us. I'm reminded of an old story that comes from back in the pre-Christ days. A young man came to Socrates, that old philosopher. He was looking for knowledge. And of course, Socrates would be a great place to go to get some knowledge. So he walked up to the muscular philosopher, and of course, Socrates was no fool. As he looked at this man, he saw something in his demeanor. And the man said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Well, Socrates saw right through this guy's whole thing, this pompous fellow who figured he knew everything. So he said, "All right, follow me." So he and the young man went through the streets, went out to the ocean, got into the water up to their chest. And then he asked the man, "What is it you want?" "Oh, I want knowledge, oh wise Socrates," the young man said with a smile. So Socrates put his arms on the man's shoulders and held him under for 30 seconds. 30 seconds, and then the guy popped up. And Socrates says, "Well, what is it you want?" "Wisdom." "Oh, great and wise Socrates." So Socrates pushed him under again. 30 seconds, 35 seconds, 40 seconds. Pops the guy up. "What is it you want again?" "Knowledge." "Wise one." Socrates pushes him under again. 50 seconds, 55 seconds, 60 seconds. He lets him up. "What do you want?" "Air, Socrates. I want air." So you can see where this guy finally understood what he really wanted. So Socrates said to him, "What you want, rather, when you want knowledge as much as you've just wanted air, then you'll have knowledge as well." When you want knowledge as much as you want air, then you'll have knowledge. And I don't know, you know, how to check whether that story is true or not, but it does illustrate an interesting point that when you want something in the deepest way, I mean really, really want it, you'll do about anything you can to get it. And the overarching theme of the book of Ephesians has been that God has given us what we need so we can become what He wants us to become. He's given us what we need so that we'll become what He wants us to be. Paul wrote this prayer out that we've been studying, and his prayer was for the original readers of the course, a prayer that God, I believe, would have us to pray. That's why the prayer is in the Bible, so that we can join in the prayer request and ask God for something that apparently He really wants to give us. Apart from God opening our eyes and our hearts to see and appreciate what He's given us, we're prone to be like the guy who came to Socrates. We say, "Oh, I'm looking for knowledge, Lord, but, you know, we think we want it, but our wanter could use a little caffeine, could use a little injection of energizer, because our wanter for that which is most important maybe needs some help, maybe needs a boost." And the fact is, as we began to unpack, a couple weeks ago, we need God's supernatural help in order to enjoy God's supernatural blessings. It takes an act of God to save us. We all know that. Because of our fallenness, our ability to understand and appreciate the things of God, even after being saved, we still need His help. It takes an act of God for us to really appreciate what God has given us. We don't need Him to hold us underwater till we're gasping for breath, but we do need His help to awaken in us the need for what He has given us. Now, last time, a couple weeks ago, we gathered here around this text and we looked at the way that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And based on his prayer, the invitation from God to us is very clear. We talked about how let's ask God for His help to enjoy His rich blessings. Ask God. After all, only God can give us what we need to know Him and to become like Him. And so, with Paul, let's pray for ourselves and for each other. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. With Paul, pray for ourselves. And we want to pray for each other. What we see in Ephesians 1, as we talked about last time, verse 18. That God would help us to know the hope of His calling. Let's pray that for each other. God, help me to know the hope of your calling. And verse 18 goes on to say another thing that we should pray. God, please open our hearts so we know the riches you have for us. We need his help to see and appreciate that. And verse 19, we need to be praying, God, please display your power in and through each of us. Open our eyes, God, to know the hope of your calling, the riches of your calling, and the power you've given us for that calling. Open our eyes, God. We need God's help to do that. Otherwise, it becomes about us. And competence is not the key thing with Christian faithfulness. Being competent is not sufficient to be pleasing to God. There's something more, and that's called dependence. So once we ask God to help us to enjoy what he's given us, all we really need to do then is just to enjoy it. Let it roll in. And so if you're a note taker, we get to point two. Let's trust God to help us enjoy his rich blessings. Let's trust God to help us to enjoy his rich blessings, because that's what he wants to do. We can trust that God's going to help us enjoy his wealth, because God's ability to help us is on display in Christ. His ability to help us is on display in Christ. And what I mean by that is that everything God has for us is on display by what God has done in Jesus and by what God has done through Jesus. It's all on display for us just to look at. After telling us all that he's given us in verses 17 through 19, we read that he's given us these gifts, last part of verse 19, he's given them to us in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. And of course, I have to ask, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, read on, verse 20, it ties what he's given us into something about what he did with Jesus. According with the working of the strength of his might, verse 20, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You see that? You see, God has all these blessings he wants to pour out on you and me. All those things we see in verses 17 through 19. And if you read verses 17 through 19 and go, call out to God and ask him to please help you to not kind of go, when you see those things, because those are great riches. But we need God's help to appreciate that. You see, God wants us to know him. That's what we see in verse 18. He wants us to know the hope of his calling. He wants us to know the riches that he's given to us. And he wants us to experience the great power that he offers in and through us. He wants that for us. But if you're anything like me, you're kind of stuck with, I understand that, but I'm kind of busy right now. It's like, do we need somebody to hold us under water till we're really gasping for the most important things? I need that sometimes. I'm not sure where all your hearts are at on that one. I trust that God's doing great things in you, so I may just be preaching to me up here this morning. But if you happen to pick up something that helps you, that's all right too. We need God's help to do this work in us. And I know it's hard to take all that stuff in. We don't see much in the way of God's stuff, like what God would be doing. We don't see what God's doing oftentimes. And maybe that's because we're looking at it in the wrong way. Somebody once told me that when a church is off track and doesn't see what God is doing, it can be compared to a bunch of hunting dogs. Let me explain what I mean by that. We had a bunch of hunting dogs down the street from us up in North Dakota. And when my kids first saw them, our kids were little bitty ones, and they were just little puppies. They wanted to play with the dogs, and the guy's like, no, don't touch them. Stay away from them. Well, why? They're cute puppies. They won't hurt. No, I don't want them to be pets. I want them to be hunting dogs. So his job as a dog owner was to have dogs that were trained to go out and do whatever hunting dogs do, and not be pets, not be cuddled, and all that kind of thing. And the thing I noticed with his hunting dogs as they got older is the longer they spent in the cage, the more they fought with each other. The more they'd fight and bite and carry on. Because that's not what he trained them to do. He trained them to go out and do whatever it is hunting dogs do. Birds or whatever it is they're after. And as long as they were doing that, they wouldn't fight with each other. They would hunt. And I really think that sometimes when we're not about the things God would have us to be about, we miss the things God has for us and perhaps can even begin to turn inward. I'm not saying that's necessarily the case here, but when you look at the church in America and the fights and the splits and the stuff, you got to wonder. We've got a lot of hunting dogs that are in their cages that should be out hunting. We've got a lot of Christians that God has unleashed and he's given us great things, but all we can see is that dog next to us is getting too close to our dish. And that kind of thing. And so God would have us to see things a little differently. And to drive the point home about what He's given us and the fact that He's good in His promises, God gives us this 3D picture so we can look at this 3D picture and understand what He's given us. And what I mean is that God's going to pour out these blessings that we just read about in verses 17 through 19. He's going to pour them out if we ask, in the same way that He poured them out on Christ. Remember what He did with Christ? He raised Him from the dead. Seated Him at the right hand of the Father. Now let's think about how this applies to us as individuals and as a local church. By Paul's example, when he's got this prayer going, he puts in Scripture, apparently God's inviting you and me to ask Him for the very things Paul's praying about. Some very profound things. Things of verses 17 through 19. The power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is apparently the very same power that we need in order to appreciate and experience what He's got for us. The power God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the very same power God would unleash on us if we just ask and be willing to receive unguardedly what He's got. This is not about us by any means. It's not about us somehow having the power to raise the dead or heal the sick or do all these fascinating things. That's actually quite secondary. God can do that. He does do that. But that's not His primary thing, believe it or not. Instead, it's about God making much of Himself, making Himself known to you and me in deeper ways than we could ever conjure up on our own. See, so often, the depth of our walk with God often stops on a warm feeling. And there's nothing wrong with warm feelings. I love the warm feelings. When Tony asked how many people have felt touched by the Lord, I love that question because that is significant. But it goes beyond just it felt so good. That's a start. But there's so much more God has for us. And how does God empty our hands or open our hands so that we're ready to receive it? Well, first, maybe think about what Socrates did. He may bring us to a point of desperation. I don't mean punitively, like I'm going to stick it to you. But I mean in a loving way. And let me give you an example. I'm not going to break into song here because you wouldn't want that. But that song by Laura Story called Blessings, you know the song. I didn't want to have it play because I wasn't sure about all the copyright stuff and all that fussiness. So I'm just going to read the lyrics. And Laura Story, her song, I don't know if you know the story behind Laura Story's song, Blessings, but her husband had some brain tumor and he's lost a lot of his functions and he's never gained them back. And of course, Laura Story, his wife, is questioning, God, what is this? What kind of goodness is this? What kind of kindness are you showing me by this? And if you've ever suffered, you know the emotions behind that kind of a thing. And listen to the words that God gave Laura's story. Words He gave her because He revealed Himself in profound ways, not unlike what Paul was praying in verses 17 through 19. I really believe that. I believe these words were given to her only because of what she'd gone through. Listen to these words. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for Your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while You hear each spoken word, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. Now, if we stop right on that verse, you could say, are you telling me that healing is a lesser important thing? Yeah. If God has something bigger He's going to do. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know You're near? What if trials of this life are Your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, Your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel You near. We doubt Your goodness. We doubt Your love, as if every promise from Your word is not enough. All the while You hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. Because what if Your blessings come through raindrops? What if Your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know You're near? And what if trials in this life are Your mercies in disguise? Now that alone is profound. Powerful. I probably listened to that thing yesterday 10 times just because I needed it. I needed the reminder. you go on YouTube, you can pick it up and watch it in all different kinds of ways. They put it out there. It's amazing. It's been my experience, the words of that song. And I know many, if not all of you, feel the same way as you look at some of the stuff that you've had to deal with. But listen to the rest of the words of this insightful song. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? See, that's the kind of insight that comes from God. Only God can give you that insight. Only God can put that in your heart. And that's what Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that they'd have that. And that's the kind of perspective I want for me and for you. The God who raised Jesus from the dead displayed His power and His purposes in what He did to and through Jesus. I'm reminded of the book of Isaiah chapter 53. If you can find it fast, great. I won't wait too long to get you there, back after Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Isaiah 53, the messianic passage, all about Jesus, written 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, 10. You know, you think about the song Blessings as you read this with me. Isaiah 53, 10. The Lord was pleased to crush him. Stop right there. Did you catch that? God was pleased to crush his son. God was pleased to put him to grief, it says. What if my blessings... Right? Remember the song? If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasures of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. See, we understand that that's a look back over the whole... we understand that whole verse as we look back over the whole span of history and Scripture. We understand that's about Jesus from our angle. It makes sense to us now. But, you know, when it happened, it didn't make any sense at all. It didn't make any sense to the disciples. All they knew is that Jesus was dead. And they're going, what in the world? And the Pharisees, all they knew is they won. They got rid of the troublemaker Jesus. Now they can get back to business. Of course, 3 days later, everything was proved quite different. And those people were all proven wrong. The disciples were wrong about Jesus. He lived. The Pharisees were wrong about Jesus because He lives. Satan was given his notice that his days are coming to an end. His power is now on a leash, and a fairly short leash, really. See, on our part, when we face things we don't understand and don't like, we got to remember a few things. First, let's remember that we who trust Jesus, we belong to God. Remember that. We, you and I, you trust Jesus, you're God's child. You're very special to God. Remember that. Secondly, remember that though what we might be facing hurts and doesn't seem to make sense, it will. Someday soon, it will. Remember that, child of God. A third thing to remember is that Jesus is in control. He's in the driver's seat. He is in control, verse 21, far above, I'm back in Ephesians 1 again, far above all rule and all authority and all power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age but in the age to come. He's above it all. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to remember that. And may God give you and me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this knowledge of Him. May the eyes of our hearts be opened and enlightened to know the hope of His calling. May our eyes be enlightened to know the riches that He has for us. May our eyes be open to see the great power He's using in us and through us, even in all of our challenges. See, I'm sure that's where Laura Story was able to write her song, Blessings. because God gave her that song, even in her pain. I'm sure that's where Job, from the old days, that's where he got the words to his song. After the Lord took everything away from him, remember what he did? He fell down and he sung a Matt Redman song, right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Okay, Matt Redman sung a Job song. I understand that. That's where that song came from. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be His name. When God has revealed Himself to us through our pain, then our hearts become satisfied in Him, no matter what comes our way. Get that? When God reveals Himself to us and through us in our pain, then our hearts become satisfied in Him, no matter what comes our way. Now, folks, that takes an act of God. We need God to do that. We need God to do that. Only God can cause that to happen. So let's ask Him. And besides displaying in Christ His ability to help us, God's willingness to help us is on display. That's the second thing. Second sub-point, if you will. God is willing to help us. God's willingness to help us is on display in Christ. And it might help to understand God does not always give us everything we want. Instead, He works in us so that we'll want what He wants. And when we want what He wants, guess what? We get what we want. That's the way it works. Kind of shoots a hole in the idea that God's an old indulgent grandpa waiting to give us everything we ask for. You know, somebody once said that if you give a pig everything he wants and a child everything he wants, you'll have a really good pig and a really bad child. A lot of truth in there, isn't there? Pretty good observation. We who trust Jesus, we're not pigs. We're sons and daughters of God. So God is at work to develop us into that kind of a life. And let's look at what God says about our relationship to Him through Christ. Look at verse 22. He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Let's just look at that a little bit more closely. All things are subjected to Jesus. That means there's nothing that's not subjected to Jesus, right? A little logic there. I'm pretty good at that. If it's all subjected to Jesus, that means nothing's not subjected to Jesus. That's some pretty good grammar. It's not that way. He's not wondering how to fix whatever it is we face. He's at work through whatever it is we face, not to fix us, but to get us to fix our eyes on Him. That's what He's doing. He's not trying to fix you if you've been messing up. He's trying to get you to fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what He's about. See, He's the head over the church. Church is His body. The church is Jesus' body. Now, I understand Jesus does have a human body. He became a human being when He was conceived in the virgin's womb. And He continues to be a human to this very day. He's 100% God. He's 100% human. He's both. Mystery. He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand. Jesus is not everywhere. The Holy Spirit's everywhere in every person who trusts Him. But Jesus, the Bible says, He is physically at the right hand of His Father. And so His body is at the right hand of the Father, which means we are His body today, right? You and I, and others who trust Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, His body did what His head told it to do, right? His body is now the church, including us this morning. Jesus is the head. We are His body, or at least a part of it. Now, if you'd had no knowledge of Jesus until this morning, and you walked into this room this morning, and this is the first time you ever got a look at Jesus' body, what would you think about Jesus right now? You see, that's why God is so willing to help us become what He wants us to be. Because we are Jesus' body on earth. And so what the world sees when they look at the church is what they think about Jesus. I know a little bit about our body sending a message. You know, my neck, it wants to pull my head to the left. It just loves doing that for some reason. So I feel the need to explain to people that that's what's going on so that if they come to me to give me a hug or shake my hand and they see me wince and turn away, they're not going to feel like, what a weirdo, you know. I mean, okay, I'm a weirdo, but not because of that. I understand that. And I want them to understand that. My body is trying to give people an opinion about what's going on in my head, but my body's fooling everybody. It's wrong. It's lying. I want people to know my head wants a hug or a handshake, yet my neck wants to twist. I don't get it, but that's what my body's doing. So when somebody comes into the body of Christ, into the church, into this room this morning even, and they've never been around Christianity, what our reaction is to them is going to tell them a lot about Jesus. The way we are towards them and each other, that's going to tell them a whole lot about Jesus. Because they're going to look at the body and make a judgment about the head. So we need God to give us what we need so that we'll be what we need to be. And what is it that we need? Let's go back and look at that prayer again, verses 17 through 19. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God so that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, so that we'll know the hope of His calling, so we'll live in and out of the surpassing greatness of His power. In a word, we need God. We need to know Him. We need to experience Him. We need to see Him do what only He can do. That's what we need. So can we take some time right now to cry out to God to do what only He can do? And I'd like to ask that we take some time and just pause before the Lord. And I know Tony will be coming up to lead us in prayer and share. And I'd just like that to be kind of a continuation of this. So let's bow before the Lord. Lord, Your blessings. We want blessings. You said we should want blessings. But Father, sometimes what You've given us, when we've asked You for a fish, it seems like You've given us a snake. Sometimes when we've asked You for a loaf of bread, it seems like You've given us a rock. That's the way it looks, God. But we believe better than that. We believe better than that because we believe what You said. May we be people who don't look at what we see with our eyes and judge what God is doing based on human impulse and instinct. But may we look at the promises of God who promised us that all things will work together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. The living God who promised to cause us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. The living God who said, this is My Son's body right here in this room, as well as in many other places around this planet right now. Your body. And You're working so that Your body's healthy. Father, would You reveal Yourself to us in whatever way it takes. If it looks like You're giving us snakes instead of fish, may we have insight from You to realize, no, this is a fish. It's just that my understanding isn't there yet. Oh God, do this work. We cry out to You in Jesus' name. Amen.